Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Romans.
Just simply have a question that we'll address. Why is the gospel the good news? Why is the gospel the good news? And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. And I do have 9 points, and so if it seems like we're moving rather quickly, that would explain that. But we'll get through all 9 points, and I trust by God's grace we'll still be done at the time I anticipate being done on. But let's read just one verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your blessing in it. Guide us now as we study it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a very familiar yet a very powerful verse. The fact that God, through the Apostle Paul, is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And if we consider the source, the human source, the Apostle Paul, we understand all that he went through in order to preach that gospel, to proclaim it throughout the world. And the hardship, the persecution, the treatment he received for no other reason than that he preached the gospel. We know that there's a man who is, his life has backed up this statement that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm sure you've heard that if you translate that word literally, the word gospel, it just means good news. What makes this good news? Now, the first 5 chapters in the book of Romans deal with the doctrine of salvation. Start from the very beginning and move on. And as you enter into chapter 6, it changes gears and is addressing more the Christian life. And so we're going to kind of cover through very briefly these first 5 chapters that deal with why the gospel is good news. Now, the first one we see, the first reason why the gospel is good news, is here in verse 16. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. And so we see it's the message of salvation to all. The message of salvation to all. He doesn't limit it here to the Jew and also to the Greek. And in that message of salvation, God says, I'll demonstrate my power. Where there's a lost soul, a child of the devil, he says that when the gospel comes in, is received and is accepted, that lost soul is now a saved soul. That child of the devil is now a child of God. And we're born again. And all those wonderful things that take place in our lives and in our hearts at the moment of salvation, that stony heart being replaced with a heart of flesh, we see the power of God demonstrated. And so the gospel is good news, first of all, because it's a message of salvation to all. Turn over to chapter 3. Look in verse number 20 and read down a few verses following that. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what we find here is that the gospel is not only a message of salvation to all, but it's also a message of grace freely bestowed. He's talking in the first part of chapter 3, especially in chapter 2, he's establishing the fact that all are sinners. And he quotes in the middle part there of chapter 3 from the Psalms and relating how God, way back several hundred years before this was even written, that God established all our sinners. It's not a New Testament doctrine, but it's an all-time fact that men are sinners. And as the law then came in under Moses from Mount Sinai, the Jew thought that if they just simply kept that law, that they would be just fine with God, that they would have their home in heaven. Sure, they may mess up in a few places because they're not perfect, but they thought still, as long as we keep the majority of the law, we'll still wind up in heaven. And God says here that that is not the case in verse number 20, because he says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Talking about God's sight. No flesh will be justified by keeping the law. And so he says very plainly, you cannot be good enough, you cannot be religious enough to be saved, to earn any time or merit any time in heaven. And so he goes on and talks about that. And finally in verse 24, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we see that the gospel is good news because it's a message of God's grace freely bestowed. We couldn't earn his grace. If we could earn his grace, then it would be no more grace. But it would be that which we deserve, that which we have earned. But God says it's by grace. And that grace is free and that grace is full for all who will believe. Look down a few verses. Let's see a third reason why the gospel is good news. Verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. What we find here is that the gospel is good news, not only because it's a message of salvation to all, not only because it's a message of grace freely bestowed, but also, thirdly, because it's a message of acceptance for all. God says that it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter what our background is, it doesn't matter whether we were rich or poor, whether we were moral or immoral, it doesn't matter whether we're young or old, whether we're sick or infirm. God says it doesn't matter. He says it doesn't matter. If you'll accept the gospel of good news, he says, I will accept you into my family. I will adopt you into my family. I will accept you into the beloved. And so it's good news because it's a message of acceptance for all. There's not a single soul that is exempt from the gospel. As we move into chapter 4, let's look in verses 6, 7, and 8. We find a fourth reason why the gospel is good news. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, we read, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so what we find here, fourthly, is that the gospel is good news because it is a message of the forgiveness of sins. If this was the only part of the gospel, this would make the gospel good news. The fact that our sins in our past can all be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I know I committed a lot of pretty serious sins in my life before I found Christ. And I thought I was at that point where God could no longer forgive me. I thought no one could forgive me. I couldn't forgive myself. But I'm so glad that God says that if I'll come to Christ in faith, it doesn't matter how bad I've been, it doesn't matter what sins I've committed, God will freely and fully forgive me of all those sins. You see, Christ died on that cross to pay for every one of those sins in our past, didn't he? But he also died for every sin in our future. He died and that blood was shed and that blood is sufficient and the propitiation for all the sins that you'll commit in your life from this day until God calls you home, whether it be through the undertaker or through the upper taker. Jesus' death was sufficient. That blood was the propitiation for every sin. From the moment you were born until the moment you leave this earth for that world to come, it's sufficient. It's a message of sins forgiven. Boy, what a wonderful, powerful message that is. Blessed are they, it says there in verse 7, whose iniquities are forgiven. To have that clear conscience before God and before man, knowing that, no, I'm not perfect. Yes, I am still a wretch of a sinner, but I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Now, this is an important thing to keep in mind, our sinfulness, because it's easy to think we're elite. Now, we like to criticize politicians that are elitists, that think they are more educated and smarter than we, and that we don't have the ability to decide what to do with our own lives and what to do with our own money. And so they tax us terribly because they have the wisdom of how to use our money and they redistribute it. And we criticize them for their elitist attitudes. Some of them exuded a great deal more than others. But we as Christians are often guilty of the same crime of elitism, thinking that I'm saved, I'm right with God, and you're not. And so I'm better than you are. And God says, oh, wait. He says, don't harbor that attitude. We need to have the meekness and the lowliness of our Savior Jesus Christ, realizing that we are in the same boat that they find themselves in. We're no better than they. Christ died for them as well as for us. Christ will forgive their sins as well as the sins He's forgiven of us. It's a message of forgiveness of sins. Well, let's look down and see a fifth reason why the gospel is good news. It's good news because it's a message of salvation to all, because it's a message of grace freely bestowed, because it is a message of acceptance for all, because it is a message of forgiveness of sins, but it's also, fifthly, a message of promises kept. Look in verse 20. He's talking about Abraham here, and it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so we understand that this is talking about the promise of a son. And you may be wondering, well, how does this apply to salvation? Well, let's keep reading then. Let's look in verse 23. Let's pick it up where we left off. And now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So God takes those promises that Abraham believed, and Abraham believed them, and then it was imputed to him for righteousness, and God plugs that right into salvation, plugs it right into justification through faith in the shed blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And God says, it's all because I promised Abraham, my promises were kept. I don't like to use that word as promises were fulfilled. They were kept. God gave His word, and God kept His word. And you know God will keep His word for you as well. He will forgive you of sin. He will make you useful in His service. He will take you home to heaven one day. He will meet every need until that time takes place. He will lead you in paths that He desires you to walk until that time comes forth. God is a God who keeps His promises. And we can take that to the bank. We can count on that and rest assured in it. And because of that, the gospel is a good news, because it's a message of promises kept. We look at in our lives past the promises that God kept, and because He has kept them, we have assurance of the promises in the future will be kept as well. Well, let's move ahead now to chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see a sixth reason here in this verse why the gospel is good news, because it's a message of peace with God. Peace with God. Now we know from Ephesians chapter 2 that we are at enmity with God. At enmity means we were His enemy. We were antagonists one toward the other. Even though God loved us, that sin needed to be judged. Now, He judged it in Jesus Christ on the cross, but we were refusing to accept the payment and saying, I demand to pay this sin price myself. You know, that's what a lost man says. He says, I know it's been paid, but I demand to pay it myself. The fact is, he can't pay it, so he's going to pay the penalty of it. But Jesus paid that penalty. And if we'll simply accept Him, we can have peace with God. That reason of enmity is removed on the cross when we accept Christ. And because it's a message of peace with God, it is a gospel of good news. Well, let's move along to verse number 6 and 7. And let's look at another reason, a seventh reason why the gospel is good news. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. What we see here, it's a message of help for the helpless. Primarily there in verse number 6. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, that word ungodly is talking about every sinner that ever graced the face of the earth, including you. We were all ungodly. But Jesus says that when you are ungodly, when you are without strength, the theological term is the total depravity of man. The fact that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot do anything. We are completely without strength. That's when Christ died for us. And so it's a message of good news because it's a message of help for the helpless. Well, let's look on to the next verse. We'll see our eighth reason why the gospel is good news. There in verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the gospel is good news because it's a message of love from heaven. The fact that God loved us even when we were unlovable. Even though there may have been no one else in the world who loved us, God in heaven looked down and said, I love you. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love him because he first loved us. Aren't you glad that he first loved us? We didn't have to clean up our life. We didn't have to conform to a set of standards before God would then begin to love us. We didn't have to start loving him before he would love. No, when we were at enmity with him, when we hated him, when we shook our fist in his face, when we rebelled against all his laws and all his standards and all his commandments, God still looked at us in love. So much so, he is willing to send his Son. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good news? The gospel is good news. Well, one last one here this evening, verse number 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, the gospel is good news because it's a message of joy in God. The world is looking for joy. They're doing all types of things to try to acquire joy and happiness. And they find that joy is almost unattainable and happiness is very fleeting. Because they're looking in all the wrong places. They're trying to look for it without Christ in their life. And little do they realize that Christ is the source of joy. We know what it is. Those of us who are born again, those of us who are walking with God, you might say, well, preacher, I don't know that joy. Well, I would suggest to you that you would read the Word of God and start obeying the commandments found in the book. And if you'll do that, you'll understand what joy is. It doesn't matter if you're penniless. It doesn't matter if your health is broken. None of those things matter. If you're obedient to Christ, he will flood your soul with joy. And that joy unspeakable. And so the gospel is good news for all these reasons. A message of salvation to all, a message of grace freely bestowed, a message of acceptance to all, a message of forgiveness of sins, of promises kept, of peace with God, a message of help for the hopeless, of love from heaven, and of joy in God. Why don't we share this message of good news more than we do? We need to share it here in our community with our family, our friends, our neighbors, those strangers in our community that we need to share this message. It is good news. This is what they're looking for, whether they realize it or not. And they may not realize it when you're seeking to share it. But it's good news. And oh, if they would only know you've enjoyed it, someone shared it with you, and you're so glad because you understand that it is, in fact, good news. You need to share that with them. But we also have a responsibility as a church family to share it to the end of the earth, to the end of the age. And so we support missionaries who will take that good news and share it with lost souls, whether it be in the dark rainforest or whether it be in a modern city across the seas. We support missionaries because the gospel is good news. It's worth sharing. It's the answers that man is searching for. And so this evening, the gospel is good news. Why don't you appreciate a little bit more and share it a little bit more? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it tells us of Jesus Christ, who died for our sin according to the Scripture, was raised again the third day according to the Scripture, the gospel. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that someone cared enough to share it with us, and that we might have that enmity removed. And Father, that we might have peace with you and all the other blessings that are attendant with salvation. Father, now we just ask you to bless us, that we might share it more. In Jesus' name, amen.